gonna take a couple minutes, just remind you of something, if I can get there. Luke 18. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. He's saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's been a verse going through my mind, and I've been thinking about that. Shall he find faith on the earth? The whole system is to destroy your faith. Take your Bible away. Take your faith in God, brothers and sisters in Christ. Take your faith away from, you know, there's people that get mad at people in the church, and they won't come back to church, and then all kinds of other stupid things go on. And you thought, man, what in the world is, you know, Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? People use, now, so what would do something like that? Pride? Yes, pride of man? You know, the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit for a fall. People with pride, they'll hold on to pride, and then the pride will destroy their faith in God and any Christianity or any church or anything else. Destroy. I know we can't put so much faith in a church or in a pastor and all that. I know that, but you can put your faith in God. Amen. You can put your faith in God. And he talks about this judge. He's saying it for a reason. Whenever the Bible, whenever God says something in the Word of God, it's not just to fill in space. And he's talking about this unjust judge. And he said, don't you know I'll take care of things? I'll take care of things. Here we are in this day and time, and he, you know, and people going through all kinds of different problems in their life, and they got all kinds of things going on. And the Lord says, you just keep on calling out. You keep calling out. You keep praying. And the Bible says, the verse says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. And people are fainting. They're fainting up by the wayside, just falling by the wayside. I told Jesse on the way, Jesse said we was on the way to church. He said, you know what, we might have seen the last days of a big revival meeting. So, you know, churches having big meetings and all that. I said, either that or it could be the church is double. It could go either way. It could be where we never have a full church again, never have, see people getting saved like we always, you know, we've been seeing people saved for years. And during this pandemic, we've seen, I think I counted about 14 or 15 saved. Amen. During the pandemic. And, he said, well, it's, you know, the guys having a big meeting and stuff like that might not. I said, but it could double. Wouldn't that be something? He says that you shouldn't faint, not to faint. You know, the Bible tells us that, look with your Bible, in your Bible, Luke 24, look what it says. I'm talking about your faith. He says, shall I find faith on the earth? That's the Lord saying that. I mean, you know, I know God doesn't put trust in man, and but, you know, he does put a little trust in his saints. Man, you know, I know we let God down, but I tell you, I want the Lord to be able to trust me. Amen. You know, you got people that used to go, I've talked, I don't know how many people, I said, are you going to church? They move away from it. They said, well, I can't find a church like Faith Baptist. Have you looked? Amen. Most of the time they don't. They just, you know, they just use that for excuse. And what's going to happen is they don't realize it's affecting their family, their children, their neighbors, everything else all around them. Everybody's watching them. There are people watching you. People know we go to church every Sunday, Wednesday night. They know we leave Sunday afternoon. They know that. People, my neighbors know that. They're watching. Especially my, you know, just my grandkids are watching. But look in Proverbs 24. Look what it says in Proverbs 24. It says, Proverbs 24, look at verse 10. Back up to verse 9. The thought of foolishness is a sin. The scorner is an abomination to men. But if thou faint in the day of the adversity, thy strength is small. So if you've fallen away in the day of adversity, things going on in your life, things happening, you start saying, well, I just can't serve God. I just can't. I mean, I'm too afraid. The Bible tells you, like I said, Wednesday night, there are 365 times in your Bible says, fear not, for every day of the year. Every day of the year, God says, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. I mean, you got to be wise. I'm not saying not to be wise. I'm not saying not to be foolish. Amen. You can be wise, but don't quit. Don't quit. Amen. You got to make up your mind. I ain't quitting. You know, when a boxer gets in the ring, he's got to get a mindset. Amen. He's got to have a mindset. I am not going down. I don't care. I'm not going to go down. You said, well, that might not keep him from going down, but still, you got to get a mindset. You got to get a mindset. I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting. Some folks, I was telling Jesse, I said, you know what? The people that were 50% in and 50% out, they'll probably be the ones that quit. They'll be the ones that quit. They'll be the ones falling out. The ones that man, they just want to get back in church, first chance they get there, they just want to be in, they'll be in there. They'll get 100%. But you got the 50-50s, and you got the others that they're once a year or twice a year or whatever, they're going to fall by the wayside. Amen. They're going to quit right when the things get a little tough. They're going to say, just can't do it. Just can't do it. Quit. Quit. I always said this. I don't want no quit in me. I don't want nothing like that quitting in me. I'm talking about, I want to quit sin. I want to quit those things. I want to quit evil. But I don't want quit in me about when it comes to serving God. When it comes to church, I don't want that. Man, I don't want that in me, around me. I want to be, man, it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I wrote down in my Bible, man, writing that thing down, what we went through at times. We went through all the different things that happened in our life. I never one thought come in my mind when our house run up, our son got run over by a car, all that stuff happened. One time did I thought, well, I'm just going to quit serving God. I mean, I made up my mind. I made up my mind. You know what? They say if you make up your mind, half the battle's won. Amen. If you make up your mind, I'm not going to quit. I don't care what so-and-so says to me. I don't care what somebody's talking about me about. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what they said to my kid. I don't care. I'm going to serve God. I'm just going to keep on serving God. You can get it straight. You can get little things like that straight. But harboring stuff, it causes envy. It causes strife. It causes those things. You can get things right with each other. You know, when you have services, man, when God starts moving, that's the time to start moving yourself. And saying, God, help me. Help me to get right with you. It says he spake a parable unto them, said, to this end, men ought always to pray, not to faint. Don't faint, folks. Don't quit. He says, shall I find faith on the earth? I want to be one of those ones still standing. I want to be the one still standing. Lord, help me. I want my children, my family still standing for God. I want to keep on serving him. I want to keep standing, no matter what comes down the pike. And man, he says, shall I find faith on the earth? I'm telling you, folks, it's going to get tougher. I believe it's going to get tougher. And you got to get a mindset, and we're going to have to get tough with it. And we're going to have to get tougher for the Lord. You know what? China started, I was telling Jesse, I said, people today don't have a pioneer mind like they used to. Back in the day, there was the preachers that went out to start churches. So they had a pioneer heart and all that. The Christians don't have a pioneer heart today. They don't want to see it. They figured, well, what can the church do for me? What can God do for me? It's what can you do for him? What can you do to help build something? A lot of people like to tear it down. We've seen that. We've seen that in Portland, Oregon. We've seen that all over this country this past year. We've seen people, that generation just love to tear stuff down. But when it comes to rebuilding stuff, they don't rebuild nothing. They don't do nothing. But, man, what about building something up? What about building up your family? What about building up your church? What about building up your brothers and sisters in Christ? What about building them up? What about helping them up? I get calls all the time from people. I pray with people, even though I know they're idiots. I know they're stupid. And I always tell them, hey, man, when are you going to realize it ain't going to work your way? The only way it's going to work is God's way. Amen. When are you going to realize that? You're going to keep on beating your head against the wall? Keep beating your head against the wall? Keep beating your head against the wall? I came up here. Brother Bilbo knows. He was here. And if it wasn't for him and his brother encouraging me to stay, I mean, I would have probably said, well, I probably ought to step aside. I wasn't going to quit serving the Lord, but thank God he encouraged me to stay. He encouraged me, him and his brother encouraged me to stay, and their families encouraged me to stay. And every step of the way, I mean, they're right here trying to help. And they still support this work. Still. support this work. They pray for this work. They pray for you. They pray for Christians in here. I mean, they've been through this, you know, from the time we started, I came here, and they've been to camp with us. They went do whatever they could to go be a blessing. They always wanted to help and build up. But you got people that they don't care. They don't care about the church. They don't care about anybody getting any help. They don't care about anybody, you know, growing. They don't care about if the church falls apart tomorrow. They say, oh, see there? They would just say, yeah, see there? That's what happened. But, I mean, folks, Jesus said, shall I find faith on the earth? I mean, you're going to have your faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. You ain't going to please God without faith. Amen. Man, we need faith in God. We need not to faint. We need to keep on. Take your Bible, look in Galatians chapter 6. This is real simple. I'm going to close with this. Real simple. Galatians 6. You're sitting watching this thing tonight. Maybe you're watching down the road. I don't know. Maybe you'll be watching it later on. You know how you look at, I look on them things, and it says so many people are watching, but then down the road you'll see, you know, people come across and they'll look at it. But the Bible says, brethren, look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. You know, everybody thinks they're spiritual. But everybody thinks it. But they're not really as spiritual as you think they are. There's people that I'm not shocked by anything anymore. I really am. I'm not shocked. But there's people that I thought they were spiritual people, and they've turned their back on God. They went away cussing. They went away, I mean, you know, down in the church. Isn't it something how when people go backslide, they always blame the church? They always blame the church for their problem. Yeah. And there's been people leave here, man. I thought, man, some people, when I first met them, I thought they were the most spiritual people I ever met. After I got around them for a while, then I found out a little different. Amen. And, you know, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in his fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The Lord's saying, you better be careful the way you help somebody and what advice you give them. Amen. I've learned that through the years. As a pastor, I better be careful what kind of advice I give people. Because you know why? It'll come back on you. Amen. I could tell you stories about people that I've given advice to and things happen. Man, and sometimes it's come back to bite me. And then I realize, God, I didn't give them that good advice. I didn't do it like I should have. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fill the law of Christ. You want to know what law we're under? The law of Christ. Amen. We're under that law. If you bear one another's burdens. You know, they got ladies here at this church got a prayer chain. And I hope you ladies, when you get to prayer, when it comes through your phone and says pray for someone, I hope you bow your head right then. That's why, as far as I know, that's what they do. They bow their head and pray for that person, and they text it to somebody else, and they pass it on. But I try to learn from experience that when somebody asks me to pray, pray right then. Pray right then. When I walk by people, now I find myself praying for everybody all the time. I walk even in the mall down there. I was going, oh, God, have mercy on that person. God, have mercy on that person. Look at that poor person. Oh, I used to sit there and laugh at people, and I still do sometimes, but and make fun of people, but I still pray for them. Amen. I used to make fun of people, and I still do. One night, I tell you what, one New Year's Eve, I said, we're going to have a New Year's Eve service, and we're going to just make fun of each other. Nobody showed up. Nobody wants to be made fun of. I think it's funny when people make fun of me. I think it's funny. Remember Charlie, we went to camp, little Charlie Munson get up there, and he would try to do everything I did. He did everything, and man, the whole camp got laughing. We laughed our heads off over it, trying to do exactly what I did. And it's just funny, man. If you can't, Doc used to say, if you can't laugh at yourself, you take yourself too serious. You are too, a fellow said, talking about, self-esteem, you know, but some people take it so they have so much self-esteem that they really believe what they've been telling themselves. You know, have you ever fell down? And as soon as you fall down, you always look around and see if anybody's looking. My wife fell down last night. If it wasn't for my granddaughters being there, she'd still be laying out there in the yard. I was in bed. And she was, I don't know if you were you yelling my name? What happened was, I'll tell you what really happened. She caught a mouse in the house, but she didn't want me to know that she caught the mouse. And the girls didn't want me to know they caught the mouse, because I always take the mouse and chase them around the house. And so she didn't want me to know it, so she put it in the bag. She ran outside. It was cold. She ran out there and threw it real quick, and her slippers flipped out, and she went into the gravel and all that stuff. So anyway, what are we talking about mouse for? But bear ye one another's burdens. I bear her burden last night, all the complaining she did to me. And so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something, this is a verse you need to underline in your Bible. I got it underlined a couple of times. If a man think himself to be something when he's nothing. We used to sing at camp, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but nothing. And there was a boy there, and that boy there, he was 15 years old, named Todd Bennett. And I'd get up and sing that song, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but nothing. This boy was on his way to be something. And that boy ended up getting saved, brother. He married to Danny Castle's daughter. That boy, he had a sponsorship. He was a motocross racer, top 10 in the country. Them guys jumping over everything, top 10. He had his own truck, motorhome. He had everything. And, man, he got saved, and, man, got on fire for God. And, man, Budweiser sponsored him, or Miller Lite, I forget which one. And he was 15 years old, on his way to make his first million, 15 years old. And that boy, he told his parents after camp, he told him, I'm not going to do it no more. I believe God's called me to serve him. Parents flipped out. They flipped out. He had a motorhome, had all that stuff. They put all that money in it. He had a motorcycle. I rode his motorcycle. It was so powerful. It was a Suzuki. And they thought I was, you know, doing some tricks at camp. I took that thing. I rode it out of camp, and the thing had so much torque to it. As soon as I gave it a little gas, I rode a wheelie all the way out of the place. I was trying to get the sucker down. I was laying on the front of a handlebar trying to get her down. But he was top 10 in the country. And that boy, and when we sang, you're nothing but nothing, he sat there, and it made him mad. I am something. And I realized we're something in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made us something. Amen. We're something to him. We're his children. We're kings and priests on our God. Man, he made us something. But he said that bothered him, and he realized he wasn't saved and got saved. But look on down. We'll finish this up. He said, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Then it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this is a verse. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap. Here's the condition. The condition is you'll reap if you don't faint. Amen. Don't faint. Amen. You'll reap good things if you don't faint. If you faint, you ain't going to be able to see it. I want to reap some good things. And the Lord, I'm going to say, I've been reaping good things. Before I was saved, all the bad things I did, I sowed. I reaped a lot of that bad. I'm still reaping some of it. But I'll tell you what, you start sowing good things, you get my age, you'll be able to rejoice and enjoy. Even at 30 years old, I was reaping good things at 30 years old. I started pastoring this church at 30 years old. Here, 34 years later, and the Lord's still been good to me. Reaping good things. Seeing people get saved, seeing young people wanting to serve God. That's a blessing. Seeing my children, you know, a lot of preachers don't have their kids wanting to serve God. They mourn over those things. Their kids don't want to go to church. God's been good to us. Been good to me. Me and my wife, we're so blessed. We don't want to faint. You know what the ideal thing for us is? That we can serve God all the way to the rapture and then go out together holding hands. Serving God with all the family. That's my idea. I mean, if my kids went to college, denied God, and made billions of dollars, I feel like they were failures. I was a failure. Them going out serving God, no matter if they made a minimum wage, serving God, to me, that's the most important thing. And to God. Why? Money. Doc used to always say, you can tell what God thought about money by the kind of people he gave it to. And the people that got the money, they don't care about God. Amen. All right. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your mercy and grace. Thank you, God. Help us to reap those good things, Lord. Help us to sow good things. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. And my